It's good to see all of you. Bailey has been asking me to get out here since she came. She loves all of you. PJT's being said, we're coming over to the gospel meeting because everybody's been saying, we've got to come over and tell you about all the trouble we have with your daughter, Bailey. And he had to follow it up with a, I'm just kidding, which I already knew. But she has been wanting me to be able to come out here. And to my surprise, and not really a surprise, I do know some of you, and it's great to see some of you that I have not seen in a good many years. David Lawson, I was a little kid in Indiana in the 1970s, and David was a giant of a man to a little boy. And he just made our day when he came up to southern Indiana and we met him. He was, you know, when I was here for many years, my family moved here in 1980, so this is home. My brothers are here. Simon, my son, and his wife Kinsey are living here. And so coming back to this area is a real joy. My Keebler route after college was in this area. My biggest account was the little Walmart over here. I'm assuming it's still there if they haven't built a super Walmart, but that was the one that kept me busy. And so I just am taken back. I told Bailey, I said, well, Bailey, I've been out to Sefner before, but that would have been back in the 80s to gospel meetings, and that would have been in the early 90s as I came over here and worshiped and sat and listened to the preaching of God's word. It's just a real delight to be here with you. Bailey speaks so highly of you, so kind to her. You're blessed to have these young college students here, and I know that you appreciate all of them being with you. And I'm glad that they're here because congregations need to have the young and the old. I want to talk to you tonight about growing old in Christ. I hope it will be of benefit to you, and I hope that it will have been good to be here tonight. I know you're thrilled to have PJ and Haley here. I have enjoyed getting to know them a little bit, and I know that you're glad that they're here. With all of Haley's bubbling personality, she is just a joy, and Bailey has just loved all of you, and I'm glad to be able to be here with my wife Lisa. And Simon and Kinsey are here again. My son Simon and his wife Kinsey, they got married three months ago, and so you can welcome the newlyweds as well. But that leads kind of into my lesson. Lisa and I just recently, back in July, celebrated our 29th anniversary, and so Lord willing, another 21 years, we will be celebrating a golden anniversary. So that's what our hope is that we'll be able to live that long together, unless the Lord comes, and we'll be able to grow old together. Growing old is not a bad thing. Aging is something that is, in fact, inevitable. And a lot of people are trying to do everything possible to, in our crazed society, to look young and to never grow old. I was looking, and I do this every now and then, $445 billion industry, according to Forbes magazine, is the industry that we're talking about, the industry of cosmetics, trying to look good, trying to stay young. And no matter how crazed we are to be looking young and to try to keep and stay looking young forever through hair care products, through makeovers, through plastic surgery, our bodies will slow down, our hair color will fade, our faces will wrinkle, our life will come to an end. One of my favorite groups, they're not so popular anymore, they were in the 90s, is the group Diamond Rio. And they had a song called Wrinkles. And the chorus went, those old wrinkles ain't nothing to be scared of. They're just a product of time and true love. Some are going to come and some are going to go and some are going to stay. Mom, you still look young. You're going to be okay. There's nothing wrong at all. And there's no shame in growing old. The truth is, you just can't stop it. And Christians can be such a great strength as godly men and women throughout their older years. Would you turn over with me to begin? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to begin reading in verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Solomon says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened." Because I learned a few years ago, as I was trying to paint in a little closet, that I couldn't see anything as the sun was going down later in the day. And a good friend of mine that I had worked with in this area, he was back in Richmond, he'd moved up there and married, and he says, "Well, you know, as you get older, your eyes don't take in as much light." And it's like he flipped a switch on me that all of a sudden I couldn't see anything. I'm like, "I can't read this. What am I going to do?" And so I ended up with glasses about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, while the sun and the light, he's talking to the young, while the light is, you know, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down and the grinders cease because they are few. And we can see the poetry in all of this. And those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up in the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, as they are afraid of height and terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Well, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So, preachers will often preach lessons to encourage the young. They will start there in chapter 11 and go into chapter 12 and verse 1 about remember now your Creator in your youth. And lessons are given to raising your families. But you know, how often do we actually talk about, which is what I want to talk about this evening, to talk about the strength that is found as we age, the things and the blessings that are found there to encourage the older generations, the Christians who are members here as they grow older. Now, I've learned a few years ago to try to use the wisdom of the Apostle Paul. When you go over to Titus 2, which we will do here in just a moment, he uses the word aged. And I don't usually use the word old. And the reason I do that is I say, listen, you're going to have to determine where you fit in all this. But I had to figure out a few years ago when someone came up to me and I was all red-faced and I was huffing and puffing and he laughingly said, "You do know you're on the other side of the hill now, don't you?" And I that kind of shocked my system as I thought, you know, he's exactly right, that I'm not as young as I think I am and would like to be. Because the aging process is something that is inevitable and something we cannot change. Simon's been teasing me as I've gotten into the little car as we've been going about. I've had a little bit of trouble in my back and in my hip, and I was kind of had a catch a while ago, and Simon is reaching over there pushing, like, "Here, Dad, let me help you get out of the car." I'm like, "Thank you, son." But it is something that is going to happen as we understand. So, but I want us to understand, and in a lot of ways, I want those that are younger to kind of understand that while I'm talking about aging, there is a grave responsibility, and I'm probably preaching to the choir because there's a lot of places these young people could go, and they have chosen to come here and to work with you, and that is such a great thing, and probably have a good handle on a lot of the things we're going to talk about. But I want us to understand that with old age comes honor. Turn over with me. We'll look at a few passages together. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Again, in the wisdom literature, the proverb says in verse 31. So Proverbs 16 and verse 31, it says, "The silver haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." The New American Standard there says the gray head versus the silver haired. And basically, you know, the gray head is a crown of beauty, and with age comes honor. But notice the point that I do want to make, because I know in Tampa and I know in Florida that what we have is a lot of adult communities as people are getting old, and they're nothing but partying. There's a lot of older folks, aged people that just act foolish, and they spend their days acting in ungodly ways. So, you know, if you look at the passage there in verse 31, he says, there is honor, there is glory, verse 31, the New King James says, if it is found in the way of righteousness. And so it's always contingent upon people living right. So we understand that with the silver hair or the gray head comes honor, but it is with that if it's, of course, involved in righteous things. So in a moment, we'll be talking more about this other passages that talk about being silver-haired or gray-haired. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 29. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29, just a few pages over, I'm sure. Says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Now, I often will use this passage to talk about the young man. And I know when I was in this area, I had plenty of opportunity to use my strength, because it seemed like somebody I knew was moving every other weekend. Somebody was, you know, we're changing apartments, can you come and help? And so in my youth, I used my strength in that way. And we often encourage the young people to make sure that while you can and you have strength, to use that strength. But we want to look at the other piece of this passage, and that is, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. And so we want to understand that what that is the know-how. That is the experience that comes as we age. That is the dependability that we have as we age. Rehoboam, you remember, we're not going to turn over to this, but in 1 Kings chapter 12 is the account where Rehoboam is advised by his father's counselors, the older men, and they tell him, now you need to make sure that you don't press too hard here, because that's what their complaint is. You need to ease up on that burden. But you remember what Rehoboam did? He listened to the counsel of his peers, these young men, and they said, oh no, make it even harder. And what happened? The kingdom was torn asunder, just like God had said. That's in 1 Kings chapter 12. And so the Bible teaches us this idea of listening to, honoring those that are of age. And that is so important, and it is something that is being lost, I think, for sure, in our country. And those of you that are older can see that. You can see the lack of respect. You can see the lack of honor that is given to those that are older. In Job chapter 29, the other passage that is there, Job chapter 29, look with me, if you would, at verse 7. This is Job speaking, you'll see, as he's there with his friends and they're having these conversations with one another. Verse 7 says, when I went out to the gate by the city, again, this would be Job, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw, then it approved me. Because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless, the one who had no helper. He says in verse 13, he says, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was father to the poor, and I stretched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victims from his teeth. Job's not bragging. He's being accused by his friends, they're saying, Job, this has happened to you. All this calamity has happened to you because you are a sinner. You have sinned. You've done something so horrible that God is afflicting you, and you just need to fess up and acknowledge the wrong that you have done. And Job knows that that's just not true, because Job has been walking. You remember, as Satan had come before God there in chapter 1, we learned that he was such a godly man. And God is allowing Satan to tempt him and to try him, to test him. And what you see in chapter 29 there is that he's talking about, when I came to the gate, and I think this is because of the wisdom and the integrity that he has, the way he treated people, the way he behaved himself, that people actually would refrain from talking. What would that mean? We've got to listen to what Job has to say. Because when Job speaks, there's so much knowledge and understanding. And even his peers, the older men of the city, they sat. And it happens. If you've ever been in a congregation, sometimes what will happen is the brethren will say, it's important, what does brother so-and-so have to say about this? And what we're doing is we're acknowledging the fact that that person that has aged and the hair has changed colors is someone that has this wisdom, this experience, something that is to be acknowledged and honored. And yet it seems today the way that it is done is it's like, they're let's just get the aged out of the way. Let's get them. They're just in the way. Let's move them out of the way, so because they're hindering our progress. And that is so sad to think that people would behave that way. Another thing that we see that comes with age and growing old is respect. The scriptures teach that the younger ones are to respect the older members. Go with me back to Leviticus chapter 19, back to the old law. Leviticus chapter 19, and look with me at verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. They were instructed to honor the face of the old man. And so respect should be shown to the older generations. It should be noticed in the way that we talk to older people. And yet it's a challenge sometimes to, especially me, as a preacher, to watch how little interaction some of the young members even have with others within a congregation. They don't speak to them. They don't say hello. They just kind of walk right by them, won't acknowledge them. And it's sad because the Bible teaches this idea of respecting them. It's the idea of wanting to hear them, respecting them for who they are. In Job chapter 32, Job chapter 32. So as we think about growing old and maybe we struggle with that, and we think, you know, that I remember a preacher, a dear, dear friend of mine, he looked at me a few years ago, and he says, it stinks getting old. And that can be the way we feel as the body begins to struggle. But with the growing old comes this growth as a Christian that should be respected and honored and understood. In Job chapter 32 and verse 2, then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Look at verse 4. Now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job, but then he couldn't wait any longer. Verse 6, so Elihu, it says, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old, therefore I was afraid and dare not declare my opinion to you. But then he does, as the text goes on. Verse 7, I said, age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Now, what we learn in the book of Job is his friends actually, as I've studied it, have a lot of good and truthful things to say. But the reality is that who they're saying it to just simply isn't true with regards to Job. But what I want you to notice is he was exactly right. I mean, he held his peace because he understood that the young in years should not just brazenly declare their opinion and should not just be speaking out of turn, because the multitude of years should teach wisdom. In other words, the young person recognizes, I need to sit and listen because I actually might learn something, and most likely will learn something. And so it says he held his tongue for as long as he could for respect for those who were older than him. That's an important point. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, of course, this is taught over in the New Testament as well. 1 Timothy chapter 5, when Paul is writing to Timothy, who he viewed as a son, this young man, he says in verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger men as sisters, with all purity. That's very important. I don't know about you, but I wasn't allowed to back talk my father or my mother. And if I really wanted to get in trouble, I back talked mom. And if I back talked mom, then now I was really in trouble with dad. And so mom, you know, it's the old wait till your father gets home. And that's when you hoped your father had a senior moment and couldn't remember what he was supposed to be spanking you for. But if you messed with mom. Now, what I want us to understand is that was my parents. But older people, aged, we should not wrong them with our speech. There should be respect. And he uses the family as an example to bring that out. Don't rebuke an older man, because you are to exhort them as a father. And there's, I'm sure, a lot of that type of relationship. It was, as you probably well know, I was just at Citrus Park for a meeting, and when we moved to Tampa in 1980, that's where my grandparents were. That's we settled down for a good number of years. And to see some of the dear people that I had not seen in years was just a delight. The people who were much younger years ago, but now are very aged. And it was such a wonderful thing, because in many ways they were like what often happens. They were your second mom or your second father, if you would, because of the relationship, the family relationship in Christ. He goes on there, he says, the older women as mothers. And that is so important when we understand the beauty that comes with age. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 is another good passage for us to consider with this idea of respecting and having respect for the elderly. In chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, in the text, I'm not sure that he's actually speaking about the eldership, but certainly that would be the case, absolutely, for sure. I wonder if he doesn't have a broader meaning here in the word elders. You may not have that understanding. But submit yourselves to your elders. I think he's, again, referring to the age difference here that is to be respected. And that is important. I want you to, with regards to that point, is to look over at the little book of Philemon. We don't often turn to the small book of Philemon, right there after Titus. But one of the things in the book is this small letter unfolds, and Paul is writing to Philemon about a slave, Onesimus, that has left his master, but when he left, he actually was converted to Christ. And so Paul is writing back, but I want you to look at verse 8 and 9 with me, when he says this in the letter, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. In other words, he says, I could command you to take him back and do this. But what he says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul. How does he identify himself? The aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? What he's saying, now I can tell you, this is exactly what you need to do. But I would rather you look at this from the standpoint of, I'm up in years, and you know what I'm saying is true and right. But if he needed, he was going to use that authority as an apostle. And I have, you know, this turned out to be a good situation. But Paul used that age, that gray hair, to say, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. And sometimes that is a blessing and it's needed. And sometimes men are afraid to do that. And I've been specifically talking about men. We'll kind of break this down in just a moment. But we also understand that this is true when it comes to the ladies as well. Experience comes. We understand that. In Psalm 37 in verse 25, this is when David said, I've been young, I've been old, but I've never seen one of God's people begging for bread. And I only want to make the point here is that David had lived at these various stages of life. And basically, he was able to look back now because he was older, and he was able to make that observation. I've been young, and I've been old, and I have been able to observe. Experience has taught me that God's people, God does not just leave them out here begging for bread. He takes care of them. And that's something that the young man wouldn't have that kind of experience, because he wouldn't be able to. I've been young, and sometimes the older goes, yeah, you got a lot to learn. There's that old saying, hire a teenager because he knows everything. And that's the time you need to hire him, because he knows everything. And yet we know as we get older that simply is not true. In Job chapter 12 is another passage. We learn a lot of things from Job. Job chapter 12, and in verse 12, Job says this, wisdom is with aged men, and with the length of days, understanding. This is exactly what we've been talking about. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. And we see the beauty in that, that with age comes wisdom. With longer days, there's a greater understanding. Again, it goes back to, that's contingent on you and I living to be righteous before God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 16, as Solomon starts this, he starts looking at life. In chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And so what he did is he had asked for wisdom, and as the book unfolds, he tried everything. He ran everything to its end. And no matter what he did, he said, I was able to discern and judge the matter and see that when I got to the end of this, how did he conclude? Vanity of vanities. It's just empty. There's nothing there. It's all vain. But until he gets at the end of the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we have that great statement that is made that we turn to often, we look at, and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I guess what if you put that from the start of the book to the end, you've got, I'm telling you what experience and wisdom has shown as I have run all of these things that you and I do not have the resources nor the wisdom to follow to their end as he did. And he says, here's what I've concluded. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so very quickly, as we kind of wrap this up, turn over to Titus chapter 1 and in verse 5. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's one of the easiest lessons to bring, because Paul tells Titus in chapter 2 and verse 1, but as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. You want to preach sound doctrine? He says, this is what you got to tell the older men. So I'm going to read this. And those of you that are older, listen carefully. He says you are to be sober. And what that means is you are to have sound and clear thinking. He says you are to be reverent or grave. That means honest and dignified. You are to be sound or temperate, which is means you're supposed to, as you mature, you're supposed to be demonstrating self-control, because you're to be an example to the younger people. You're supposed to be sound in faith, solid in faith, healthy faith, obedient faith. You are to be sound in love. That word sound goes with all of those at the end of that verse. You love God, you love the Son, you love the Holy Spirit, you love the church, you love your family. You're supposed to be sound in patience. You're supposed to be solid in your perseverance and constant in your walk of faith. Remember, the crown of beauty is the older man or woman who is godly. And a congregation needs proven men who cultivate throughout their life righteousness. The church needs proven men who have the qualities to oversee, as you have those here, the local flock. Men who have developed these qualities to guide and protect and to oversee. One of the qualities in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, or character, is not a novice, which means they're supposed to be what? Experience. And you lead by experience. There is a reason God places that stipulation, because that young man, oh, he's zealous, yes. He's knowledgeable, yes. He's friendly, yes. But he's young and lacks the necessary trial and experience and perseverance necessary to oversee the flock. And I've been observing that there are some younger men that are becoming elders that have young families that really, I think, don't have that experience. They have not proven themselves. And I hope that's not something that becomes more and more prevalent in the Lord's church. If you continue in the text, he says that the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's a responsibility. Leading by example. I guess I should go back to the aged women. Behavior that is holy, righteous, good. Not causing troubles in the congregation as false accusers. Teaching good things. The young women, the grandchildren, are watching. Teach the younger women to be sober, that clear thinking, able to think clearly for themselves. Teach them how to love their husbands, love their children. Be sensible. This is the instruction to the aged. Chaste, pure, modest. You set the example. Keepers at home, good, obedient to your husbands. The church needs godly women. They need to be cultivating this godliness and teaching the younger women. Many families are falling apart because of the lack of maybe those to watch, those that teach. Maybe they're struggling in their marriage and they need the Word of God. And if they don't find the older women, you know where they'll turn? They'll turn to the newspaper, the books, the columns, the self-help books, and TV personalities. God says to lead by your example. And I would say just briefly that it's not a time for spiritual retirement. It was said in the prayer that we not grow weary in well-doing. I want you to look at probably the best passage to consider in this subject is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look with me at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more great, exceedingly, and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are eternal, are not seen, are eternal. Now is the time for you to strengthen and muster up, to let your light shine in faithfulness, right up to your departure from this life. In Psalm chapter 71 and verse 18, I hope that as I grow older, this will be my prayer. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. What a beautiful way to end the thoughts of growing older. May God bless all of you and all of us. I'm just, like I said, I'm growing older. My hair is turning gray. I don't feel the same way, so this lesson is important to me as well. No matter what age you are, by way of invitation, you can be born again into Christ. Are you here tonight and need to be baptized to put on Christ? If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation, will you come repenting of your sins, confessing your belief in Christ? Go down into the waters of baptism to wash your sins away? What a blessing. Maybe there's someone tonight that's older and has not done that. What a day of rejoicing. Have you ever been in a congregation when you never thought brother or sister so-and-so would come down the aisle? Maybe tonight's the night you should. We would bid you come. If you're a child of God and things are not right, can the congregation pray with you and for you that your sins may be forgiven again? If we can help you in any way, we bid you come as we sing this invitation song.